Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome, Elixir, to the Transformative Taskmaster Podcast. I feel like I need a trumpet fanfare or something. Yay! So welcome in. How have you been since New York?
Really sick and now almost fine.
Yay! Yeah, I feel like I got really lucky avoiding the New York sick, which is good, but...
I was the only one who got sick, so, like, it did feel a little bit like you got the coolest 24 hours of your life, and now you get to have COVID for the second time.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully it was worth it, the New York trip, because that was a lot of fun. Hi, Podcast Cat. Would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. Maybe she'll yell later, but she's in my lap. All right, so we have you on today to talk about a very special spreadsheet that you have made. So
you're not a real Taskmaster fan until you've made a spreadsheet, are you?
I mean, that's very valid. That is a valid point. We love spreadsheets in this fandom. So first of all, tell me what the name of your spreadsheet is. And tell me...
Personally, really boringly, just called GTs.
Oh, GTs. Which... And that stands for...
Greg Touches.
Greg Touches, yes. As opposed to ATs, which would be Alex
Touches. Alex Touches.
Yeah. And then if you have one clone of Alex, you could have an AT-AT, which is a Star Wars joke. Oh, goodness. Anyway, so you have this spreadsheet that you've created from basically nothing. So it's a spreadsheet. I call it the Touches spreadsheet. So tell me, what is the general, like, idea about the spreadsheet? Like, what is it a spreadsheet for, specifically?
It is a spreadsheet of all of the times that Greg and Alex touch each other in the show, mostly not including any of the like promotional material. Mm-hmm. Mostly because trying to find all the promotional material from like season 5 backwards would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And also, how would you count that? And
yeah,
but it does also include all of the outtakes and all of the like New Year's specials. So
sweet.
That's
a lot of content.
I don't want to think about how many hours of content it is.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Go ahead.
I had help with it, so.
Oh, that's good.
Me and Bingo.
Nice. Yeah, I was gonna say. At what point did you decide, like, this needs to be a thing? Like, was it in the middle of a series that you were watching, and you were like, you know what, I just need to create this, and then eventually I'll go back at series 1 and just like watch the whole thing?
Well, like all good fan projects, it starts with Amanda.
Yeah.
So you know her brilliant little banter fix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I read all of them in I think maybe 2 days, and then wrote one of my own, and at the end of that I was like, hey, because it was in the middle of like season 18, right after we'd gotten the second kiss, and I was like, we should have an Alex kiss. Alex needs to kiss Greg.
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom it was like, somebody else should write another one of these. Please. Please, yeah. I want to read this again. I just wrote it and I want to read it again. And Kim Kim T wrote it the next day. Like,
we sure
the
are
next day
a
wrote it.
Prolific bunch.
Called A Positive Trend in the Data, which is in it. Alex pulls up a spreadsheet that is the now Greg Touches spreadsheet. And basically at the end is like, it would be fun if somebody actually made this.
Oh my gosh.
I was not the one who started it. Bingo was the one who's like, oh, we could do something here. I was like, well, I'm all caught up on the show now. Might as well.
That's amazing.
Might as well watch it all again.
Yeah, why not? It's always good to have new, like, reasons to rewatch Taskmaster. I'm currently rewatching series 4 for no reason at all. Like, literally, my partner came home and he was like, oh, you're watching series 4? I was like, yep. And he's like, why that one? I'm like, I don't know. I literally have no answer for you. I was just like, you know, series 4, let's do it. So you went back with intent to, I assume,
with
series
intent.
1 and just went from there, huh?
Yeah, I did series 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 9, 14. I did not do them in order. I've never watched Taskmaster 100% in order.
That is interesting. That's very interesting.
Well, because
to me.
I'm splitting it with Bingo, so they're doing
right
like some of them.
Okay, that's
and also
that's valid.
Some of the seasons annoy me, so I
also valid.
I was say I specifically saved 9 for last as a little reward for myself, and
yeah.
Then Bingo beat me to the punch.
Oh,
I was like,
that's
dang
so,
it.
I was gonna say, were
now
there...
I just have to watch season 9 for fun.
Oh no! How horrible.
Oh, yeah? Season 9 is insane.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because I know that that's the one of my personal favorites is the explain to me, and I mean just me, whole thing, which is absolutely ridiculous. were there any series that you like fought over with Bingo that you were like, I really want this series, and they were like, I really want this series?
No, it was kind of that would have implied that we communicated which ones we were going to do in advance. I'd open up the spreadsheet and be like, ah, season 13's been added.
That's so funny. A collaboration with little communication. We love to see it.
Like two scientists.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so we know what the spreadsheet is about. So it's
yeah.
Greg initiated touches versus Alex initiated touches. So
there is the caveat of Alex sitting on Greg's lap is I consider a Greg touch, because every time it's happened, has it really been Alex initiating it anytime
right.
Alex has sat on Greg's lap?
Yeah, because if Greg is like inviting him over to sit, I feel like that's yeah. I see where you're coming from with that. So talk us through the
like
data.
Most of the Alex touches are like him when he reaches over and holds Greg's arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk us through the data.
Talk you through the. I'm going to start at season 9 because we were already talking about it and it's insane. It's a weird place to start, but it is insane.
I mean, I'd argue that series 9 is one of the top like favorite series in the fandom.
You're right. We'll do it in order. I can do things in order. It's possible. So, in my mind, there's like three chunks to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's like seasons 1 through 4, which is like finding our footing.
Yeah.
What is going on? It's also the shorter seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get 5 through 9, which are all insane. And then you've got the post-pandemic seasons,
right,
where are very mixed, very, I don't know what to make of them. I feel like we're still too close to them to come to any conclusion about them.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we were first talking about the spreadsheet, I just kept thinking, like, because are there two or three COVID series?
There's three.
Yeah, so it's 10, 11, and 12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, man, that spreadsheet's gonna look real like empty ghost town.
There is a hole in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was so sad. But I do remember, I think it was, I mean, I could be misremembering this, but I think it was series 10. I mean, I assume it's series 10, episode 1, where when Greg introduces Alex, he says something like, and sitting frustratingly out of reach is Alex. And I'm like, yeah, that's so sad, honestly. But one thing I did notice was, like, because I've been rewatching series 4, their thrones are so close together. Like,
they're on top of each other.
They are. And I'm like, who is putting these seats? like, is it a camera thing? Is it like, do they need, like, their camera can only zoom so far out? Like, I don't know what's going on, but they are so close. It's like the arms of the chairs.
Like,
I don't know what it was. And I'm just like, I feel like I really should watch, like, the entire series front to back again, because like there's been some subtle changes. I know that like Greg and Alex will say like, yeah, we haven't really made any, you know, big changes to the format or anything, which, you know, for the most part true, but like where their chairs are in relationship to each other like boggles my mind sometimes, because I'm like, who made that decision? Like, who made the decision that these chairs should be 1 inch apart? Ridiculous. Okay,
the
so
one
you-
where Greg like leans over and screams at Alex and the whole throne like tips. That's what's going on.
Oh, so good. All right, so you said there were like three chunks, so talk us through chunk number one.
So chunk one, seasons 1 through 4, these are like Alex touch heavy seasons. Like, I mean, when you imagine Taskmaster and I say that I've made a spreadsheet about the two of them touching, you're imagining Greg completely manhandling Alex around. But seasons 1 through 4, Alex dominated.
Interesting.
Of just like him gently touching Greg on the arm. Season 2 has has half an Alex touch for Greg touch, and season, what am I doing? Forget that. Forget I just said anything. I'm so bad at numbers. I'm so enthusiastic and so bad at them. Seasons 1 and 3, there were 2 Alex touches for every Greg touch, which is insane. Seasons 2 and 4, a little bit lower, but still like way higher than what we'd expect in a modern season of Taskmaster.
Right. So, yeah, seems...
Season 5 is my pet favorite.
Okay, yes.
Because it is underratedly insane. Because it's still a shortened season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not at a full 10 episodes yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you took the average number of touches from season 18 and put it in... you distributed it, which is about... It's about 2.8... And you put in an episode in an 8-episode season, you get about 22 touches.
Right.
Season 5 has 32.
Wow.
32 touches in an 8-episode season is...
That's a lot.
It's so many. Also, yay, we have outtakes now, which is where all of the insanity lives.
Yeah, that's fair. that would make sense that we would like start to get a little bit more from like just having more content in the first place.
We average it out, so the outtakes count as an episode, and so it's like average touches per episode, so that you don't end up with just like, I mean, seasons 1 through 4 are still really low, but they're getting to know each other.
Right.
They don't know that they're going to kiss yet.
I still can't believe that happened in 6. Like, it feels like something that should have happened, like, in 9. Like, at the earliest.
It feels like it
9.
Should have happened much later.
Yeah.
They peaked so early.
They really did. Incredible. All right, so 5 really kicked us off. For the second chunk.
5 really kicked us off. I was trying to find how many touches you get in an outtake. You get about 5.5 touches per outtake.
It's pretty good.
Well, not per outtake, per season per outtake.
Right.
Like a set of outtakes in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
I feel you get 9 touches in season 9's outtakes alone.
Oh, interesting.
They just cannot keep their hands off of each other in season 9. Season 6, of course, we get the kiss.
Yep.
We also get 39 other touches.
Holy cow.
Including Alex sitting on Greg's lap twice.
Oh, we love it.
Greg also grabs Alex's arm a record-setting 13 times in Series 6. Season 6 deserves to be considered as insane as it is.
Yeah, they were going for it, Series 6.
It's also fun to, like, see, like after the kiss, they do not touch each other again for, like, a really long time.
It's just like, oh, that was awkward. Let's not talk about it for a while.
Like, there's no, like, casual, like, arm grab the rest of the episode. It's not until, like, the middle of the next episode that you get it. They make contact again, and it's like Greg's, like, desperately needs Alex's attention.
Amazing.
Okay. Season 7 and 8 are pretty standard by the insane standards.
Right. Yep. Just hearing, like, the words Series 7 is pretty standard makes no sense to me.
Season 7 and 8 actually have the same amount of, like, total touches between both of them, but Season 8 is also weird, and that's the one where Greg and Alex are together in the interstitials, like Alex is cutting Greg's toenails. Yeah, it's only Season 8 where they're... I guess it counts, but it's a much different feel than, like, Greg reaching out and grabbing Alex,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, because
have it, like, be a scripted thing.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because whereas a scripted, like, acting type of thing would definitely feel different than just the natural touches that come into the show by themselves. So we've got 7 and 8 are pretty average for this era, which brings us to 9.
Which is insane. I don't have any fun stats for it. It's just insane. Season 9 is insane. It's got 3 Greg touches per episode. It's got 1.3 Alex touches per episode, which doesn't sound like a lot. It's pretty much the most he ever does.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an Alex touch per episode in a season, you're doing astoundingly well.
Uh-huh.
Then total touches is 4.3, which is, like, the rest of them are, like, the rest of this insane chunk is, like, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, 4.3, which is, like, and then, spoils for the next post-pandemic bit, we're hovering around 2.5.
So is Series 9, like, the top, like, number?
Yes.
Wow. Groundbreaking, honestly.
Groundbreaking.
Ed Gamble would love to hear it.
So, Season 9 is insane. It's home to, you know, our favorite Tell Me, and I do mean just me.
Yep.
Which can't believe happened.
Yep.
And also 47 other touches. They're both on it. Like,
mm-hmm.
They are both equally, like, just can't keep their hands off of each other.
That's amazing.
Season 13, post-pandemic, they are crashing back together,
mm-hmm.
full speed, or like 90% speed. It's still lower than season 9, but yeah. Everything is lower than season 9.
Right. What was there one touch in the COVID series when
there
Alex
was one.
Alex 12. Hands Greg the money that Victoria had given Alex for losing a bet? Is that...
It's a hard outtake to find nowadays.
Interesting.
It is pretty well scrubbed from YouTube at the moment.
I mean, like, to be fair, if Greg and Alex stand 6 feet apart from each other and extend their arms, like, they're basically gonna be holding hands. So I feel like...
It's fine. They needed a little bit of just that.
Yeah, just a tiny, tiny touch. So we get through COVID, we get past COVID in quotation marks, and then we arrive at series 13. So you say at 13 we're about like 90%.
Yeah. Before the pandemic we were averaging about like 40 touches a season, and series 13 it's down to 36. So
okay, so not
bad.
Yeah.
I have in my notes here, the difference is entirely because Alex is being a wet fish. So before Alex was averaging about a touch an episode, now he's down to a third of a touch an episode.
Wow.
So a touch every three episodes, which is a record low for a season.
Interesting.
This is also the season where Greg touches Alex's thigh the most.
Oh, that's... that's a stat that we now have, which is funny because when I think about Greg touching Alex's thigh, I think of series 17. Is that the one with Nick?
I should know this, but it wasn't my season to go through.
Oh, I feel like a bad hold on Google. Nick Mohammed Taskmaster. Oh my god, I literally started typing in Nick Mohammed and Google autofilled. I kid you not, this is the first thing that pops up. Nick Mohammed Taskmaster thigh squeeze. Oh my gosh. Yeah, 17. Okay. I don't know why I thought 16. 16 was Julian's, I think. Yeah, I don't know why, but, like, my series, like, the way that I remember series is by the contestants, which, like, makes sense. But, like, I'll only pick, like, one contestant. So I'll be like, oh, series 9, that's Ed's series. Or, like, series 7, that's James's series. Even though Rod would probably hate me for saying that. But, so Nick's... was series 17, and that's what I think of when I think of the thigh squeeze. Just
it's also
because...
the one where it's like, do something to make Alex uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and Greg is like, I know how to do that. Just leans over, gives it a squeeze. All right,
boys.
So we've gotten through 13.
All right, so series 14, we drop a little bit after series 13, which, you know, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Greg, I would also be pulling back a little bit if I was getting absolutely nothing in return.
Yeah.
Of the,
fair.
Alex picks it up a little bit, so it evens out a little bit, but we're still really low. We've got 32 total touches across the season, which is the same as season 5, which... once again, was 2 episodes shorter.
Right, interesting.
And also, we've got outtakes now. Series 5 is weird, by the way, in that it's the only outtakes where they don't touch each other.
Oh. That is weird.
Yeah.
It's because Sally was doing all of the
touching. In my crazy conspiracy mind, they cut out something wild that couldn't make it into the outtakes.
I mean, if you think about it, there's gotta, like, if you're sitting in the audience for like a recording session and you bring your notepad, there's gonna be like so many more, there's got to be so many more touches that like we just are never going to know about at this point.
Yeah, but like I also can't compare those, you know?
Yeah.
Like I can't. This way I can pretend like I can see into their relationship.
Yeah, totally.
If I stare at these numbers enough.
Yep.
Speaking of staring into these numbers and starting to believe things, season 15, they're fighting. It is abysmal.
Oh,
abysmal.
No. Oh, no.
26 touches. which puts it between season 4 and 5. Two short seasons.
Oh my gosh.
And season 15 has a New Year's treat in it, and even then it can't. It's just so low. But, season 16 returns.
Yay!
And Alex is back, and he's trying.
Aww.
And it's good. Season 16 is, it's a little bump up, and it's almost entirely Alex just putting in more than
more effort
before. Yeah.
We love to hear
more touches. I can't say more effort. If I say the man should put in more effort, it might.
he's gonna literally die. Okay, so we're back up in 16.
So series 17 and 18, Greg continues. It's now on an upward trend, and Alex is now back on a downward trend, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Alex isn't comfortable doing a full one touch per episode anymore.
Yeah.
We've still got Greg on the rise, and he's our heavy lifter.
Nice.
Series 17 and 18 have exactly the same number of total touches at 34. Oh. I love when they match.
Yeah, that's interesting. Nice solid number there.
It's also, this is just a, so I also keep track of, like, what type of touch it is.
Yeah.
And so, like, our crazy seasons, we get, like, a lot of arm touches and not a lot of hand touches. The great majority of the touches are going to be arm or hand.
Yeah.
And 13 through 16, very hand heavy. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of arm. 18, 17 and 18, we're back to arm. I don't know what that means, but I like to think it's a positive trend because we've got kissing again. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've had, what, 3 kisses now?
We've had 3 kisses, unless you count Greg kissing Alex's hand, in which case 4. But I think I might be the only one who counts that one.
What episode was that from?
That's in season 6.
Oh.
So far, we've always gotten a pair.
Are there any interesting trends that you found, like, are odd series versus even series, like, saying anything? Or do you think the kind of plot line is just an overarching thing?
I meant to do that to see if, like fall seasons are different than spring seasons. But I haven't yet.
Yeah, I forgot they do.
There's only so much you can talk to the numbers.
Yeah.
I did take a look to see if, like, if you could predict any. I've been trying to figure out if there's a way to, like, predict what a season's going to be like based on looking at season 1, for no particular reason, based on what I saw in New York.
Right.
see if I can look into the crystal ball and be like, we're going to have a good season.
Yes. I mean, I hope so. Who knows? I'm so excited for series 19. It's going to be a good one.
I think so too. Based on, I mean, based on what I saw, I think it's going to be good. I don't know if the numbers actually back it up. Mm. It feels right.
Yeah.
And I can twist the numbers around to be like, yes. I think we're going to get a lot of Alex touches this season.
I hope so.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Like, even based on, like, what last season was very low on Alex touches, which is fine. It's allowed. But he's got a very sine wave pattern.
Interesting.
So, I think we're due. We're due for him to come back up, to be like...
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Maybe I'll get my Alex initiated kiss.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? That would be interesting. Now, in this spreadsheet, are you counting all the times that Greg, like, smacks Alex with the cards as touches?
Yes, cue card whacks.
Do we know how many of those there are total?
Yep, hang on. 34.
Oh. I feel like 34 is a recurring number here. that's how many touches total we have in 17 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And my cat is...
It's how many times Greg's felt the need to just absolutely whack.
Sometimes you just gotta whack your assistant, you know?
Season 18 is the season with the most wax.
Oh. That's interesting. I wonder if it was because of Jack. I wonder if it was because Greg was getting mad that Alex was had a soft spot for Jack.
Maybe.
Could be. Getting jealous. Doesn't want to let his boy go.
Whereas season 7, he just wants to show Rod that he has an amount of control over the situation.
Right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is second highest. Series 18 has 8 and series 7 has 5. Oh. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So before we move on to our games section, are there any other like fun stat facts that you have about your spreadsheet?
I don't know what I've been doing so far that wasn't fun.
Well, just like outliers kind of things.
You if you had any questions you wanted me to puzzle out of the spreadsheet.
So,
I could have...
So we know how many kisses there are. We know how many slaps there are.
Would you like to know the different things that I've broken out as specific categories?
Yes.
So we've got shoulder grabs.
Okay.
We've got thigh grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Hand and arm.
Yep.
Tap, which I'll be honest, it's because I started this spreadsheet really soon after the C word kiss and mm-hmm. like there's a very clear like tap there and uh-huh. I wanted to see if like that was a recurring thing, but then it became very useful of like they are just whacking on each other and I don't want to count how many times they did that because that would be not useful.
Yep.
Cue card whack.
Mm-hmm.
Head contact.
Which is
it's very good. It happened 7 times in season 9.
Oh my god.
To nobody's surprise.
What the heck? That's so many.
I mean, most of it is hand on head.
Okay,
not,
okay,
you know,
okay. Head to head.
Hugs and then lap sitting and kisses. And then miscellaneous.
Good lord.
I do have an insane system of So I've given each of those a point from 1 to 5,
and
rated the seasons based on that to see if that was anything.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, like a like an intimacy rating or something.
Yes, it's my elixir point system.
I mean,
it's what you'd expect.
No, I love this so much.
Series 9 is the winner.
Yep.
With 75 elixir points. and then it's season 6.
Interesting. Man, I need to rewatch season 6, I guess. I don't even remember who's...
73 elixir points.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of EPs.
It's yeah. Well, lap sitting on the lap counts for 4 and the kiss counts for 5.
Yep.
So having a kiss and 2 laps, it's really, really added a lot.
That's
to
a
that
lot, yeah.
Total.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of hand, a lot of arm. It's... Series 6 is insane.
Yeah, I guess,
I'll have to
go back and rewatch 6 at some point. Sooner rather than later.
Also 5. Because it doesn't rank as high in this, but season 5, underratedly insane.
Yep. I mean, my top 3, I think, are 7, 9, and 5. But 16 is, like, really close. It's, like, tied for 3rd, I think, because I love Julie and Clary so much.
Series 16 is my favorite. It's
so good.
It was my first season. I watched all of it, and I feel like 2 days, and then started season 17 was like coming out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was binge watching through the past seasons, and then watching season 17 as it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no memory. I don't know what happens in season 17. At some point in it, I realized I thought that they moved houses. Did I tell you this?
No.
And my first watch through, I thought that they moved houses between, like, series, like, like the early seasons and the later seasons. Like after the pandemic, I just figured that they moved houses.
Oh, interesting.
Because the way that season 16, like the location,
yeah,
the locations, I mean, they do, yeah, they do shot, have... I thought it was like their backyard.
Oh, that's funny. Oh my gosh.
So I spent like season, I swear, I think I got to like season 8 or 9 being like, man, they're going to have to move house soon, right? This is going to be like a big deal. That's so gonna funny. Get like a bigger place with like that yard.
Oh no.
Because I'd also watched all of New Zealand before I'd gone back and watched the rest of UK.
Uh-huh.
And I watched season 16 and then watched all of New Zealand and then went back.
Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand actually has a big yard. So I just figured that, like, you know, the flagship was going to be equally.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, the Taskmaster Ranch that they use for New Zealand and Australia is gorgeous. And, like, you could probably fit, like, 3 Taskmaster houses in that one ranch house. It's, like, ridiculous. So I think it's so funny that, like, the original Taskmaster house is just, like, this little crappy falling apart piece of... Podcast cat! Stop scratching at my thing. She started to yell at me also, which is a good sign. Stop! Oh my gosh. She's like, let me in. Girl, you can come in. You did it before. All right. Okay, so earlier you were talking about the origin story of the Touches spreadsheet, being that Amanda, who we also know as Illuminescence, you know, writes these amazing banter sections. So we are going to play my favorite game, Fact or Fanfic. So fun. I'm
at such a disadvantage in the fact that I've legitimately started dreaming episodes of Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Like, hi. Fully, like, I had a dream the other night of, like, I thought that, I was like, did somebody have a fanfic where they had to completely get rid of all the wrinkles on a tarp?
Oh, yeah.
Is that an actual task from
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Or did I fully just dream?
Yeah, because I saw you said that, and I was like, I know there was one that you had to, like, shove the tarpaulin into, like, a... ma'am. Podcast cat says hi. Stop rubbing against my thing. But yeah, I don't think there was ever one that you had to, like, iron out the wrinkles from. Because that seems literally impossible.
No, I've looked it up. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Wild.
It was a great task. Because it couldn't just use an iron because it's just plastic. Somebody tried and, like, burnt through it. It was hilarious.
I mean, that's absolutely 100% what I, like, thought. Because when you said that, I was like, somebody's going to grab an iron. It's just going to be awful.
It was all, like, burnt plastic.
Ugh. Blech. So gross.
I might have to go sit on the floor because my phone is running out of charge.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
Mid-podcast, relocation.
So exciting. I feel like it's...
We don't need to talk about how my room is laid out so that if I wanted to charge my phone, I have to sit on the floor.
It feels very much like a No More Jockeys type of thing. Where they just have to, like, bring their laptop through the house for some reason and, like, sit somewhere else. Oh, goodness. Okay, so we are going to play 3 rounds of Fact or Fanfic. So all of these are, like, Greg's intros to Alex. So you're going to tell me whether you think it actually happened, if it was fact, or if it was written by someone in a fanfic. All right, so number 1. And next to me, a man who drunkenly revealed that he thinks that male nurses are a myth. They're just doctors who couldn't hack it and haven't the balls to go get a real job. It's little Alex R.
Well, I'm sure that he yelled louder, but go with real.
That is actually a fic, and it's one of Amanda's.
Oh.
I know I was going to be bad at this.
She is too good at writing the banter sections, honestly. I think Alex should, or not.
I can hear that one.
I know. Greg should hire her to, if he ever runs out of ideas. Oh my gosh. Okay. That was unnecessary. Cat.
Right after Alex podcast gets taken by some
podcast cat literally just like vaulted off of my lap because Fonder is here. But yeah, that one was Four Quite Unhappy Badgers by Illuminescence. So yes, that's that. Okay, so first one down. All right, number two. And next to me, a man who told me in a private moment that he believes climate change is a hoax propagated by, and I quote, liberal pussies who don't know how to party. It's little Alex Horn.
You know, the problem is that I've read all of it.
Yeah, that is a problem. That is a problem. I can't
guess. I don't know why I'm trying to reason it out. There's no reasoning this out.
Is it too controversial? No,
they don't tend to worry about that sort of thing.
Plus, it's Alex. You know, they can be as mean to him as they want. He supports apartheid. I'll go fact.
That is a fact. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah, that one was from the New Year's Treat 2023. All right, you're one-on-one, one-for-one, one-versus-one. I don't know how scores work. So, yes, yeah. So now it is the tiebreaker. Okay, here is number three. And here, smug as a pug, so servile it's vile. Oh, who is it? It's little Alex Horn!
So Servile It's Vile is a fic title, so we're gonna go with fact.
It is a fact! Oh my gosh, that is so funny. You're actually, like, as of, I don't know when these episodes, like, will, I don't know what order these episodes will come out in, but, there was someone just the other day that they were like, okay, I know that this one is a fic title, so it's gotta be fact. Like, I love that we just, like, take that and are like, yes, this is what it needs to be. Okay, I'm just putting in my Taskmaster spreadsheet that you get a little trophy on the website once your episode comes out. So good job. Yay!
Yay!
We did it.
I'm a winner. I finally... did a Taskmaster task successfully.
Us at New York.
Except none of us.
Yeah. So speaking of New York, so we were both in New York City for the premiere, which was amazing. So
which was amazing.
Yes, it was quite amazing. Now, I have some touch. Yes. Yeah, the bracelet. I have all of my stuff still on my my keychain, my keys. All of my stuff from that trip, which was so fun. So in the premiere, how focused were you on when they touched each other and you were like, I have to write this down?
I mean, I was keeping notes because they'd given us a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yep.
I wasn't writing down the touches, mostly because my brain at this point just does that subconsciously.
That's amazing.
I was making it so I could make a meme later of season 19, episode 1 spoilers, but without any context.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was so funny. Yeah, and then...
also because writing stuff, it helped me remember, you know, what had happened, because it was a lot of day.
It was a lot of day. Yeah, especially for you, because you pretty much, like, came in to New York City and then left, like, almost immediately. I mean, you know, as opposed to, like, those of us that...
4 hours of sleep?
Yeah, you know, because the rest of us had, you know, been there for, like, days already and stuff like that, and, like, had another, like, 24 hours or more to leave and go back home. But, so on your EP, on your Elixir points, how many points would you give Greg picking up Alex?
Well, it's got to count as a hug, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it 4. It's a special hug.
Okay.
That sounds wrong.
It was a special hug.
Greg
though.
Gives Alex a special hug on stage.
Yeah.
It's definitely a fic title, or at least a fic description.
I mean, it's just like give Alex a special cuddle, and Greg wanted to be part of it.
I'm still living in the universe where we got to see him pick him up like he's at a bar.
That was so funny. Yeah, when they were like, can you pick up Alex? And Greg is like, what, like in a bar? Or like physically pick him up? And we're like, what do you think,
Greg?
And
we all cheered to pick him up.
Yeah, we were like...
We all cheered to pick him up physically.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were like, honestly, both.
We should have shouted both.
We should, yeah. It's like, I mean, yeah.
And have the processing time.
Yep. Oh my gosh. So I have already talked a bit with other guests about, like, you know, my experience from the New York trip. So I know that you like came in a whirlwind and then left and then immediately got sick. But other than the traveling part, like, how was your experience being in New York and, like, getting to see them in person, which, as you know, someone that lives in the U.S. was, like, really, really special.
It's a bit like remembering a dream. I mean, I was, like, separate from you guys for the show portion, just because of how seating worked out.
Yeah. Because you were in the balcony, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they came to our section, like, first when they were doing the walk around.
Yeah.
So they were still, like, going full speed.
Right.
Old man full speed. So they weren't, like, stopping and chatting with anyone.
Yeah.
I said hello to Alex and he looked at me and went, hello, and then walked away.
Yep. That sounds very Alex.
I mean, I didn't have anything to say or give. So I'm glad that people who did have things to say and give got their experience. Mostly I was like, you're from my television and you're in front of me. Which, that also happens to me when I, like, meet, like, go to a, like, a show for, like, a band. And even, like, what's it called? The band that comes on first to warm up. Like, even meeting them, my brain's like, wow, I can't believe you're a real person. My brain's bad at realizing people are people.
Right.
The other main thought was, oh, they're shorter than I was expecting, which is apparently a unique thought to have.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I thought that too. Now, to be fair, I did not, like, I didn't take into consideration that I was on, like, a slope a little bit, just because of the way that, like, the audience area is designed. So technically they would have both been, like, taller than me anyway because of the slope, but I didn't have the thought of, like, oh my gosh, they're huge. I did have the thought of, holy shit, Alex is incredibly attractive in person. Like,
just more along the lines of, oh, I look like my dad.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, yeah, both of them were very sweet. I was excited that Greg allowed me to give him a hug, and then I was even more excited when he said that I have a solid hug, which was not something I was going for or expecting him to say. So that was cool. But yeah. Both of them lovely, lovely lads. Okay.
I think my favorite part of the trip was the, like, confab that we had at the hotel afterwards.
That, I agree. Like, the more I talk about it, I think my favorite part of that trip was all of us just getting together in the hotel lobby afterwards to, like, be excited that we just got to see the premiere and got to meet Greg and Alex and all this kind of stuff. Plus, we were also staying up for the Seth Meyers release, which we did not know was going to be so interesting.
That would be your specific favorite part, considering it was a very emotional low part of the evening for you.
It really, really was. And yeah, because I don't know if I've, like, again, I don't know when these episodes are going out, but the story is that all of my recording on my phone of me taking a video of me meeting Greg and Alex got deleted for some reason. Like, it didn't even get deleted. It just, like, snapped to Greg leaving. So I don't know what that was about. And I was devastated because I was so, like, thrilled that I was like, I have this great idea. I'm going to record the whole thing so that when I'm, like, floating on a high afterward, I can watch it back and remember what I actually said to them, you know? And then, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so, I remember saying, I'm so nervous to watch this video back because I was like, I hope I didn't make a fool of myself. Well, I guess we'll never know because my phone hates me.
Whatever you want happened, I guess.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I had literally just found that out and everybody else was like, we were so excited that everything happened. And like, but we were like, a lot of us were also kind of like disappointed is the wrong word, but like disappointed in a way because we thought the selfie system was going to be something different. And not just like the, hey, we're gonna run by you, so like take selfies with us in the background. So there were like some of us that didn't get like stuff signed that we wanted to, or, you know, like properly say hi and like stuff, or like properly get a picture with them or anything like that. So there were a lot of emotions. And then like I was like super upset. I like was near tears. Because of my video thing. And then Seth came on and I was I was very happy. I was like, I really needed that, honestly. Yeah. I think that was my favorite bit. Was just like being in a room with all of you while that happened live was so much fun.
just gripping each other.
Yeah, there. I was like, because we all like screamed, but we were also all trying to be quiet because we wanted to hear what they were saying. But I literally like grabbed onto you and I was like, what is happening?
I've listened to the recording of us like watching it so many times.
It's so good. It's so much fun. Like pure,
like you can hear a like muffled gasp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the screams and the gasps, and we're just, oh, it's so special too because like being in a room of people that like know the title of your fic without having to look it up, like that is incredible. yeah. I like that they picked the one fic that
it's so nice to be in a fandom where there's other people.
Yeah, that's real. But yeah, though I like
that. Fandoms where it's either been like four people just doing their best to keep a fandom alive, or just arrive too late and the fandom's already dead.
Yeah, that,
it's nice to be in a fandom in that's an active, you know,
fandom. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've definitely run
and
into
one that doesn't suck.
Yeah, yeah, that's real. Yeah, I've definitely run into the problem of like getting really into a thing and then it's over. And like the nice thing about that is that I don't have to like wait for new episodes or content to come out. But the bad news is like the fandom is pretty much dead. And it's like, well, heck.
I can sift through the grave.
Yeah.
And see what's left.
Yeah. But there's only so much joy you can take from that which is unfortunate. Anyway. So we're...
The last fandom I was in was so small that towards the end of it, our fandom tag, like, on AO3 got decanonized. So I can't find the other fix now just used that tag.
That's so sad.
Because now it's just video blogging RPF, which if you haven't looked at on AO3, has like a billion works in it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's that is pretty
so
sad.
The fandom that had like, if it was 30 fix total, it would have been a lot. I'm not finding them.
So sad. Yeah, that's unfortunate. This is like tangentially related, but this is going to sound completely random. But the reason that made me think about it is like things that like you feel like you just will never ever find again in your life. And when I was in high school, I became obsessed with Jekyll and Hyde, which like surprising no one is why my username is what it is. But because I saw the musical for the very first time at an arts camp in Michigan that I work at in the summers, and it blew my mind. Like, it was so good. I mean, Jekyll and Hyde the musical, I mean, I've seen a ton of musicals since then, and Jekyll and Hyde is not it's cheesy, like, let's just put it like it's I love it. Some people would say like it's a bad musical, and I would be able to see where they're coming from, but like it's kind of old, it's like a little bit, it's not like super outdated. Anyway, so there was a video game for a PC that my dad got me because I literally would listen to the soundtrack on my CD player on repeat, like forever, like while I was asleep, while I was awake, like when we were traveling, like I was obsessed. And so my dad was like, oh, TK really likes Jekyll and Hyde. I found this Jekyll and Hyde video game for PC. So I'll like give it to them for like as a present. And I was like, so excited. Bestie, this is the worst video game that exists. Like, I kid you not. It is impossible to play. Like, it's so bad. They're like everything, like the voice acting is pretty good. Everything else is shit. It is it's awful. But I really loved Jekyll and Hyde. So like I tried to give it a go. I am more of a casual, like I love playing video games, but I'm more of a casual gamer. Like I don't like min-max or anything like that. I could not get through this game to save my life. And I was so like frustrated because like I physically like could not play this game. Like I kept dying. It was really bad. And so eventually, so like years and years and years later, I keep thinking about this game eventually or like occasionally. And I'm like, man, I really want to know like how that game ended, because I remember there was like a cutscene at the beginning and it's like very high stakes. Like the bad guy has like kidnapped Jekyll's daughter and like has her in a cage for some reason. It's like, it's really weird. But I remember being like enthralled by this plotline. And so my partner, who is who like I would classify as a gamer, like he's a hardcore gamer, like, you know, like Dark Souls is like his bread and butter. And I was like, hey, because I think I still had the game. She just walked over his desk. So I think I still had the game. And I was like, hey, would you be willing to try this game? Or like to try to beat it so that I can watch you play it and I can finally figure out how this game ends. He played it and he was like, I hate this game so much. Everything about it is so, so, so fucking bad. Like, it's awful. And like the controls are just horrible. The camera angles, the health that you get, it's all bad. And so eventually, so we get like pretty far into the game. And he stops at this one place because, I kid you not, the game was bugged. And so we physically can't, like, we looked up, like, how to get through this area, and it's like, you have to jump on the chair. Well, he wasn't jumping on the chair, and we tried for, like, hours to jump on this chair, and it just was not working. And so finally, like, he was like, fuck this, I give up. And he gave up, and we, like, threw the game in the trash. But, like, ever since then, I've always been like, I really want to know how this ends. And so finally, And this is what your story reminded me of, you know, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm never going to know how this ends. You know, like, I'm never going to find those fix again. But I finally went to YouTube and I looked up, like, Let's Plays. And I actually found somebody that played through the entire game and did a Let's Play of it. And I was like, dude, bless up. Because holy shit. And it was like, I don't remember how many hours it took this poor guy to get through it. But I finally looked, like, was able to see the ending. It was a fucking shit ending. And I was like, well, that was awful. It was an awful letdown. So yeah, I don't know. That was a rant that I just went on for no reason. But
it was a delightful rant. I love video games that are bad.
Oh, it was awful.
I've been watching video games that nobody can beat.
Ugh. You know what I love is the opposite of that, is games done quick, where they speedrun video games. I love that shit. I love that shit. It's so fun to watch. Okay, we're getting off topic. Here at the end of our podcast is when I ask our guests for fan work recommendations. You don't have to provide me with one, but like if you have like a favorite piece of fan art or a favorite fanfic or something, now's your chance to shout it out.
I mean, my favorite is Email Up Your Heart. Is that the name of it? Oh no.
Oh, this is gonna be awkward.
No, shut up. Shut up.
Do you know who's by?
Our dear anonymous friend.
Ah. That's harder to find.
Hang on. It is... I read it, based on my AO3 stats, 15 times last year.
Wow.
Email my heart.
Email my heart.
No participles. Email my heart. It's told entirely through emails. And I love it so much. Because I love when stories are told in a weird format.
Yeah.
Yes, I do love House of Leaves.
Yeah, we were, so as you know, we have like this bingo sheet thing in our group chat that some of us have been doing. And one of the, I don't even remember what it was called. Okay, so I found, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but epistolary is what I'm going for. I didn't know what that meant, but I looked it up.
Can I have a definition?
Yeah, I looked it up, and it is a story told via letters to each other.
Oh, like Dracula.
Yeah. So I didn't know that. And so I wrote one that was like letters to each other for my rare pair of Paul Williams and Tom Cashman. But then I also wrote another one that was a Dear Diary was the prompt. And that one was fun because I got to write Nightmare Grug again. But yeah, I had a lot of fun writing though because it's so different. It's such a different format to what we're used to reading and writing. So. Yeah,
I mean, fun. That is the joy of writing the banter fix as well.
That's true.
Of like, mm-hmm. I know exactly how this would look.
Yeah,
but how would it go?
Yeah.
And also, I can make just like I can see it on the screen. Turn in my mind. Yes.
So good. All right. So last but not least.
Dashes and underscores between the two, so
yeah, I'll link it on our website. last portion.